Pasta.
Hey,
Hey,
how's it
how you
going?
doing? It's been a
Pretty
while.
good. Yeah. You've been to the Windy City and back.
Yeah, it was a good time.
But
And
next year.
last time you couldn't record either. That me and
Yeah.
Rob did. Yeah.
Last time it was just you and Rob, and I think the time before that was all of us, right?
Yeah.
But there was a me and Rob episode not that long ago too, I think, or
Yeah, before that.
yeah.
That's because it's been hard to get all three of us together. Rob could have recorded, but he is at a hotel con.
Yeah. So he's not here by choice.
I like those hotel cons. I do. I just don't
Yes.
have them around anymore. Our hotel con has become kind of a toy con. It's more toys. And probably because people buy more of that than they do comics anymore.
Yeah, I guess probably so. But yeah, he likes to buy those comics.
There is a big
That
one
Rob.
coming to Denver that's just a hotel con, and I was surprised to see the list of vendors because they're usually East Coast vendors that I buy from.
Oh.
Harley's stalking a squirrel out there, and that squirrel's pissed off. It's got its tail just making all kinds of racket, and Harley just looks at it. She doesn't care.
My doggy loves to watch the squirrels,
At a
don't
day,
you?
there was a big white, like, it looked like some white Siberian type house cat. It was just huge and fat. And it was like laying on the trail, and Harley didn't even, she knew it was there, but she didn't even like go at it. And that's the one type of pet or animal that she will chase, and she didn't even go after it this time.
Just got a text from Rob.
Oh yeah?
That was to both of us. He said he misses us to have fun.
Oh, he's at the con.
I assume
It's
so.
probably too
Should
early.
I could say
Usually
you
the
could be
hotel
here if
cons are at a le
you wanted to. You could be
if
here
you
if you wanted
wanted
to, you asshole.
to. Yeah.
Then he'd worry I was really mad though.
I don't know.
No.
I don't think he would. I
Yeah,
think he
that's true.
knows you well enough. You guys
Yeah.
got to eat lunch together, right? Or dinner?
Yeah, about almost exactly a week ago, we met up about 11 o'clock for brunch-ish. And that was nice. I hopefully we'll try to do that occasionally again.
Yeah. I wish
So.
I was closer to my friends. Like, I really don't have any, like, social friends here at all.
Yeah, I mean,
They're
besides
all
Rob,
on the East
I don't
Coast.
either.
They're all on
Yeah.
the East Coast. That's why I went to C2E2 because I got to meet people that I haven't met before because they don't go to Heroes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than Rob, and that was kind of the first time that we got together that wasn't at like meeting up at a con or something like that. So
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but I'm not that social to begin with, so I guess I don't need too many.
I would
I'd
like
like.
it. I would like to have a support structure around me close.
Yeah,
I
I'd
don't
like to
have
live closer to you and
that.
Barb. That would be nice.
Even if it was just like once a month going out with my friends, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? It doesn't have to be every day in your face. Unless it's Bomer, I could be in his face all the time. We spend like 12 hours a day together, and it's like we don't miss a beat, man. It's like I don't know. We talk about the wildest shit I've ever thought
No, I guess
possible.
that's why you can record 4-hour podcasts.
Yeah. I do talk to him probably more than I do anybody. Like family or other podcasters or friends or anybody.
Even Barb?
No, that's not possible.
Yeah. I assume
Con
that was the one
continuous,
exception.
continuous though. That's probably true. Like when you record a 4-hour podcast continuously, I don't
Yeah, I
think I've
guess.
ever talked continuously with Barb that long without
Right, to
having the
just.
TV on or some other kind of interruption or something in between.
Yeah, just to talk like for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
I mean, besides podcasting, that's kind of rare to do with anybody, you know?
Yeah. So how
But.
have you been? How's everybody doing? Good?
We're doing pretty good. I was home alone with the animals for the week because Kara went on vacation with their mom.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, they just took a little trip together because with our work schedules, we were having a hard time making something work
Syncing
for
up.
syncing up for the spring before while the weather's still kind of crappy. So we'll go somewhere in the fall together, you know, but
You haven't made
so
plans for where yet?
no, not
Well,
specifically,
last
no.
year was Vegas and California, right?
Yeah, I mean, we flew into Vegas and stayed there for the night, but mostly California.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was nice. But yeah, we usually will do something in the fall and use our tax return towards that, although our tax return this year was half of what it was last year, so.
Yeah. They claim that you're getting to keep more during your checks.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little more. But yeah, sounds like you had a good time in C2E2 though.
Yeah, and plus we got to chill. Like me and Barb just hung
Yeah,
out
you
there
went
for
early.
4 days and went to the sites.
Right. Yeah, would you there from Tuesday on or something like
We
that?
arrived on Monday, but
Monday,
it was pretty late. This is the first time we've ever like done like late flights, and I like it a lot more.
Did you?
Yeah, I like it. I don't like getting up like at 3 a.m. to get to the airport and then fly out at 6. Yeah, you get that day, but you're usually slogging. Do you know what I mean? At least
That's
I
true.
am.
Yeah,
I'm
it's kind
usually
of trade-off.
I'm going through the motions and I'm exhausted because I don't really sleep on the flight. I try to, but my neck bobbles around and I don't know. I'm not too comfortable on a flight. I used to be comfortable on a flight. Now that I'm getting older, it just seems like my circulation is different and I need to like move my legs more or something because I get off that flight and my legs just hurt. From being there 2 hours. Even at work, I like sit down, I do an hour, and then I'll stand up. I'll go walk around for a while.
Yeah, they
'Cause I can't
recommend
like
that's kind of
sit
important to do.
continuously anymore. Before, I used to do like 8 hours straight, just sitting in front of a computer working, and I can't do it anymore.
Well, I think it's better for your legs to get up and stretch too. It's not, you
Yeah.
know, even sitting on airplanes, if it's unless it's a short flight, they recommend that you get up every so often to stretch your legs because it's not great for your veins
Yeah.
and stuff to just sit for that long.
I did like the fact that it was a direct flight. We never get that. That was
Yeah, those are
that was
nice.
that was awesome. 'Cause usually
Yeah.
we're flying through Chicago at a layover or something.
Yeah, that's a hub. A lot of times.
And it kind of gives
Yeah.
you a well, I don't like to travel like a lot on planes. And I get like a anxiousness. Not going through security or getting there early. Like I don't care if they grab my crotch or anything like that. I'm past that point. I'm too old for that shit. But I just don't like to do the layover and then having to worry if I land a little bit late, am I gonna have to run to the next gate or am I gonna miss it?
Right.
'Cause usually your layover is like it's less than an hour. And they board the plane 20 to 30 minutes prior. So, yeah, I don't like that. And
Yeah, I
if I
hear
had
you.
a lot of vacation and time and or could stay away from work for long periods, I'd take advantage of a lot of times the flights fill up and they're asking for volunteers and they'll pay you for it or give you extra flight time.
Right.
I would do that all the time.
Yeah,
Stay the night and fly out the next day. You gained another flight. This flight was awesome too because we got it was free. We had our miles.
well, that's nice.
That's the first free flight we've had, and it makes a big deal.
Oh yeah. I think I either have enough, or I'm getting close to having enough Southwest points to
Yeah.
get there, which is cool.
We bought a United card which gets points. And so we use it as a card plus because we signed up for it, you got like a lot of miles up front as your first timer.
Sweet.
But anyway, what do you got for us? Because last time you were last and you didn't get to finish your third book.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. I didn't talk about as much. Well, we had a lot of questions, I think, but yeah, I
Yeah.
can start off this time. So, a ways back, I think this might have been the episode. I think it was just me and Rob that one, but I had talked about some of the Masters of the Universe mini comics, and
Yeah.
the ones I talked about were the real early ones, and so I read some more of those, and these were interesting because they switched to the early ones. They were more of an image with text along the bottom,
Yeah.
and so with these ones, these are the kind that I remember when I got the toys, where it's a traditional comic book style.
We're telling more story than just here's a picture with a caption.
It's definitely. You have your dialogue bubbles and all that, and these were actually written by Gary Cohen
Oh,
with
nice.
early pencils by Mark Teixeira. So that's kind of interesting, like early on in his career. And these are a lot more obvious in that they were introducing particular characters, so they must have came with that particular toy. Like the first one is He-Man meets Ram Man, which I know I had this guy.
Ram Man was very ill, not flexible, right? He just popped it up like his head.
Yeah, the
You
toy
like
you actually.
push down on his legs and he pops up or something.
Yeah, you push down on the top, and the top half of his body goes down, and then he pops back up like he's a battering ram.
Yeah.
And so yeah, he shows that power right away on the second page of this story. Actually attacking He-Man because he's sort of confused, thinking that his personality is kind of a sort of a dense individual, as it's kind of going like with the assumption that he's somebody that rams into things with his head, He might be a little shell-shocked mentally, but so it forces He-Man into a battle, and He-Man's confused and thinks that Ram Man's a villain as a result, and so Skeletor shows up with Beast Man through a portal, having witnessed this happening, and he lies to Ram Man and tells him that He-Man is the villain of Eternia, and all this to kind of the shtick that continues from the earlier comics is that Skeletor seeks entry to Castle Gate Greyskull. So he basically wants to use Ram Man to get, to use his Ram ability to get through the gate. And that's what it boils down to, essentially. He-Man ends up showing up because of what they're doing, and He-Man and Beast-Man have a really brief fight, and then He-Man gets into it with Skeletor. But in the process, Skeletor gets frustrated with Ram Man, and he can't really help but show his true nature, and Ram Man eventually figures out what's really going on and saves He-Man from getting Skeletor standing above him about to strike with his sword, and Ram Man comes flying into it, into the Skeletor's back, and they become friends after that.
But
so
he became friends with Skeletor?
He-Man and Ram-Man become friends.
Oh, He-Man and... Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah,
I got
sorry.
Confused.
I probably misspoke.
I'm actually looking at my database for this thing, and I can't find it. Like, they're listed under, like, Masters of the Universe Mattel, and they're listed by year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... I can't find the one you're talking about. I see a lot of them, but I don't see the Ram Man one. But what year was it? Can you tell?
The copyright on it was 1982.
Oh, wow.
But
because this one has the power of Point Dread. And packaged with Zodiac and Point Dread in the Talon Fighter playset. And that is Gary Cohn, but the art was Mark Texeria, and you said it was a different artist.
The one I just talked about is Mark Teixeira.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. The earlier ones, prior to the ones I'm talking about this time, were a different artist and writer. Yeah, I don't... I'm reading these in the mini comic collection that was put out
by Dark Horse.
Was it Dark Horse?
I think so.
Well, anyway, the next one, you know, these definitely start following a pattern, and this one is the ordeal of Manny Faces. So this one highlights the character Manny Faces, it starts out with
just to piggyback off Ram Man, I always thought he was a bad guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when the toys were coming out, I didn't buy the toys. I always just thought he was a bad guy.
Right. I can see that. So there's a kind of a festival sort of thing going on. There's a guy performing. If you're familiar with Manny Faces, you could tell it's him, but he's got a different kind of a mask on, and he's putting on a performance as an actor. And afterwards, He-Man and Teela congratulate him on his performance, and he's got the whole Manny Faces look. With the sort of helmet and everything like that, but he's yet to have multiple faces, and the face that he does have is handsome, at least according to Teela's thoughts. Later, when he's in his dressing room, Skeletor confronts him and forces him to drink a potion, transforms him into his face into an ugly monster, gives him like an aggressive personality. But then Skeletor zaps him with his sword and says that you won't remember any of this until I have need of this new identity that I've given you. So later on, this actor is performing for He-Man and the King of Eternia and stuff. And Skeletor shows up and activates Manny Face's other personality, and his face changes. Using Manny Face's help, Skeletor abducts Teela, and is going to plan to sacrifice her to a demon that'll allow him to get the power to once again get into Castle Grayskull. He-Man, Man-at-Arms recruit the sorceress's help, and go and fight this demon that Skeletor is trying to sacrifice Teela to. And so they have to fight Skeletor and Manny Faces when Skeletor changes him again, and ultimately to bring Manny Faces to the final version that you'd be familiar with from the toy, he gets caught between a battle between Skeletor and the Sorceress. Sorceress is using like her staff, and Skeletor is using his sword, and both shooting beams of energy out of it that he gets caught in the middle of, and seems to just kind of explode. But then in the end, he reappears, and he's got his third face, which is robotic. And the sorceress zaps him so they can come back to his normal human face again. It's kind of actually in kind of an interesting ending, because He-Man and Teela think that everything's okay, but the sorceress, in her thoughts in the last panel, she reveals that that things aren't okay. He still has his monster and robot selves forever, and Skeletor is likely to use those again. And then finally, the third one I read was again introducing a new character, and this one's called the Terror of Triclops, and same creative team, and this one starts out with Skeletor Beastman, and he's lamenting the fact that He-Man's constantly spoiling his fun and his plans to get into Castle Grayskull. And Beastman suggests that they recruit the help of Triclops. And Triclops is so they actually summon him there magically, and Triclops is not too happy about it. He's a guy who it's not a huge. I mean, he looks different than Many Faces, but there's not a huge stretch in concept, because in this case, as the name suggests, he's got this sort of helmet that goes down over where his eyes would be, and it rotates to three different eyes, each with a different expression. So Triclops. So he's not too happy about it, and he and Beastman fight out a bit. But Triclops is known for his as being a warrior. So the way that Skeletor finally gets him to do what he wants, he says he'll hire him, and so that he can go up against He-Man, and basically he appeals to his desire to test his warrior skills. So that's how he gets it to gets Triclops to help. And when Triclops strikes, it's in the midst of Ram Man, He-Man, and Teela hanging out. They have Battle Cat with them, and Battle Cat senses something, and he goes inside a cave, and that's where Triclops attacks Battle Cat. the rest of them don't really know anything is up yet. Ram Man decides, he thinks, something tells me He-Man and Teela want to be alone together. So he says, I think I'm going to go take a walk. And he comes upon Triclops, and Triclops takes him out. And this is all happening without He-Man and Teela realizing. And so then he finally attacks the two of them. He and He-Man fight over the course of several pages. But He-Man is victorious. One of Triclops' abilities with his different eyes is that he can see, he calls it his far vision, and he's able to see that Skeletor is shooting a bolt of destruction in their direction, and he warns He-Man, who's able to deflect it by his shield, and that's the end. So,
one thing though, how many pages are each one of these things?
They
12,
are
16.
Or 16, okay. But yeah, one final thing about these was kind of funny is they have some interviews with the creators, and there's an interview with Gary Cohen, and I actually enjoyed reading this because he's very matter of the fact about everything. They asked him how he ended up doing it, and he said, basically, he says, as far as I can remember, somebody asked me, want to do some mini comics, and I asked, sure, what does it pay? And that's about all he remembers. You know,
most important part.
Yeah, he thought. He said, I looked at the toys and pronounced them among the ugliest and most ridiculous toys I've ever seen. I thought He-Man was the silliest name for a character I'd ever heard. I said something like, were they even trying? But then he kind of is a bit self-depreciating and saying that he thinks that he was they were going to be a bomb. And he says, I got a great track record for not picking winners that he thought the Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers were going to bomb to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice that he's so honest about it. And then he just thinks, it's funny to him that he was interviewed and people are interested in these things. He says he's not ashamed of doing them, but he didn't really think anything of the work, and if he's remembered for doing these mini comics, yeah, it's kind of ironic. But
personally, I never liked the toys. I feel different now that I'm older. But I just didn't like the size and the fact that they were all bulky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like not realistic, like your Star Wars action figures, or you know what I mean?
Right.
I just like they just didn't fit. They were just so big.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, despite the fact that I'm reading these, I'm not extremely nostalgic about Masters of the Universe. I mean, I'm kind of amused at how bizarre they are.
I did like the documentary, the whatever that was called, Toys That Made Us or something, with the He-Man.
That was part of that?
Yeah. It was really good. Mm-hmm. You would like it. It shows how they came up with the name, the ridiculous name He-Man. Because to me, He-Man is like, it's an old term. Like, they used to use it in the Little Rascals. They used to have the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an older term, and you don't usually hear it too much. So when it came back as an action figure, I thought it was weird too.
Yeah. But I mean, they're fun. It's cool.
Yeah, they're making the DC figures out of them now. But I still have yet to see a hero. I've only seen the villains so far. like at the stores. I've never seen them, like the Batman, the Aquaman, Green Lantern, or any of them.
Oh yeah, I think when I was at Target one time I saw them. They don't look like, I think Joker was the only one they had or something.
Yeah, that's what they have like a ton of, is there's tons of Joker and there's
Yeah.
tons of like the evil, they have like an evil battle cat for him. But they don't have a lot of the hero stuff. It's like it got raided right away. And I've been to two Targets and I still haven't seen them. The King Shark looks pretty cool. I did like the way he looked as a villain. I didn't care for. Oh, the King Shark and Mr. Freeze were the ones I thought looked okay. But I like the way the heroes looked, but I never could find them. I think they would be a good collectible to have. I hear they're lousy toys, though. I hear they're breaking left
Oh
and right. They're put together so bad. Not the He-Man ones, the DC knockoffs, the
yeah. Right,
Funko
yeah.
ones. Yeah, there's a lot of people complaining about the way they were put together. The playability is just, they'll break off the arms and legs.
That's too bad.
I'm gonna do two real quick because they're real short. But my first one is came from the DC Universe app. I started to rewatch Shazam, which used to be the Shazam and Isis Power Hour or whatever the heck it was. And it's fun. Like I remember how I didn't remember how ridiculous it was because you have this immortal that would talk to he would talk to the immortals. They drive around. He Billy Batson would drive around in a Winnebago with this guy, this older guy called Mentor, and they would talk to the gods. And when they would talk to the gods, it was all animated. It was bizarre. So they'd have like the animated gods telling Billy like what he needs to do. And it's like a it was more like for kids, like let's teach a life lesson, kind of thing. In the first one. The episode is called Joyriders, and it's about a bunch. It's a bunch of teenage kids that decide to steal a car, and one of them is cautious to do it, but they're looking for cars that have the keys left in them. And this is around in the 70s, so I guess people were more apt to leaving cars with the keys in them. I don't know why, but these kids stole the car. And almost wrecked it, and the one kid stayed away, and they called him chicken, and they were, teasing him and all that stuff. Peer pressure. It was a peer pressure episode. And then they steal another car, and this time when they do it, they drive it into the junkyard as Captain Marvel is chasing them, and it just so happens to be that's one of the cars when they park it. That one of those magnets picks up to drop into the trash compactor. So Captain Marvel has to fly in and save him from getting crushed. And he's basically, you're going to turn yourself into the police, and whatever happens, happens because you broke the law. And then the second one, which I thought was even better, was about a blind kid. They're kind of like in the desert, I would say like Nevada or Utah or somewhere, and he wasn't always blind. He wasn't born blind. He became blind. So his older brother is very careful with him, and he doesn't let him do anything, and it frustrates him to the point of he just takes off and just starts walking around. Almost gets himself killed all this time without even a walking stick. He just sort of just starts walking. And in this particular, Billy Batson and Mentor almost run him over with their Winnebago because he's crossing the street. And they say, oh, we'll take you back. So they take the brother finds him. They take him back to their house and he's frustrated. He doesn't like being blind. And then later on, him and his brother are out and his brother gets bit by a rattlesnake. And his blind brother has to go find help. So that's when he goes and finds Mentor, and he has to remember where he left his brother. So that's the key, is he has to use all his other senses, smelling and hearing, to remember where his brother was to try to save him. And then Captain Marvel's flying in with a rattlesnake, bite medical kit, and then somebody tells him how to cure this kid. But it was a lot of fun. I didn't remember the Joyriders as a kid, but I distinctively remember watching the blind kid episode. So yeah, it's fun. The DC Universe app is, they're adding like 10,000 more comics too in April. That was one of their big announcements. And they're not going to be taking off comics, and they're going to be releasing comics every week now, kind of in the Marvel paradigm, except
That's
Marvel's at
cool.
6 months, and now DC said they're doing 12 months. So
Okay.
it's 1 year behind, but every week you'll be getting a new set of comics.
That's cool. Sounds like they're trying to like increase the value and get more people to sign up. I mean, it makes it sounds more appealing to me.
It makes more sense probably from a business side, because you have this material already done, right? And the more subscribers, you're charging $8 a month. The more you get, I mean, you added it in the millions, and that's like money coming in every month, a steady flow of cash. And it's probably more consistent than even Marvel Unlimited, than anything at a comic store could be. People picking up their monthly books. So yeah, it probably makes financial sense, and in my opinion, it's a slow step forward to the death of the LCS, but it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen within the next 5, 10 years, but I think it's going to happen. And then the next one I read was,
Yeah, might, well, just a quick thought on that. I mean, it might end up being like vinyl records, you know?
There'll be comic stores, but I don't think it'll be like it is. I don't think it'll be like a Wednesday Warrior type situation. At least in the large quantity that it is, where you have a Sears catalog every month to choose from books. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people will be going digital. I mean, I just know a lot of friends that already are.
Yeah, that's the trend.
Yeah. You're one of them. Daryl's one of them. I mean, on the other networks that I'm part of, a lot of people are just, I can't keep caught up, or I'm running out of space, or something or another.
The space thing is I just for me, I don't like having so much stuff around.
Yeah, I love it. The more the better. But the next one's a real quick one. It's Nighthawk, number one. During the Acclaim years of Valiant, they towards the tail end before they died around the Birthquake, they decided we're gonna do a creator own line. And so they tapped Mike Grell, they tapped, I think it was Truman, they tapped Neil Adams. They made them sort of art based. And Neil Adams came up with a character called Nighthawk, who wasn't part of the continuity line, which for the let's see, was Truman, or I can't remember who did Star Slayer. For Star Slayer, Windjammer just basically made it a director's cut, and they kind of recolored it, and he sort of retouched it up, so it was like refactoring it more than publishing new material. But this was a new book. He's sort of like a Batman character, and he had a lot of like exposition telling you how angry he is. He's very angry, and he's just like jumping off a building, and he's like crashing through an orphanage, and it's like, why the hell is he crashing through an orphanage? And there's like this old lady and these two parents that are trying to adopt a kid, and he's like, I know you guys are corrupt. And the guys that are trying to adopt a kid, we don't know anything about anything. We're just trying to adopt a kid. He says, you're all guilty. And then he like punches a hole in a wall, and he opens the wall, and he shows that they have a bunch of kids that were kidnapped, and they're all white. And there's like a message there, because he's like, you could adopt, black or Asian or any kind of kid, but you wanted the white kid, and they're all kidnapped. So he like made the people feel guilty, and he took down the organization. And they were corrupt. They had like henchmen. So the old lady called in a bunch of guys with guns, and Nighthawk has these. He has these two pistols that are like around his calf muscles, and he like hit a button, and the two pistols just flew in the air, and then they like latched onto his metal gauntlets, and then he just started shooting them left and right. So he rescued all these kids, and he told the two parents that are there, "You tell the cops what was going on here when the cops come and the sirens came." And meanwhile, there's a bunch of military people invading a laboratory and trying to steal a clone, and it just so happens to be the alter ego's science job. So when Nighthawk and his alter ego goes to the lab, he finds all the scientists killed and murdered, and they took the clone that they were trying to do cloning technology with. So that's how it ended, but it was just a real short, action-packed, crashing through guns, explosions, and all kinds of art. It was kind of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like ridiculous things like this.
With did you say you got did you watch Shazam on the DC Universe or
Yeah, DC
yeah?
Universe app.
'Cause they have all their old stuff on there too, right?
It's really worthwhile for $8. I mean, the other thing I've been reading on there, so I don't have to dig out of a box, is Power of Shazam, the Jerry Ordway stuff, and that's been like awesome because that's like been like what I've been in the mood for, and obviously because I'm watching the old show. And I did finish the DVD serial, black and white serial from the, I think it was the 50s or 40s, probably the 40s, of the Captain Marvel. I finished that DVD. So I've been spending a lot of time with Captain Marvel lately.
Did the movie get you, get him in your head or something?
I
The
think
new movie?
I it might have subconsciously, but I was already in the mood for it. I've been buying a lot of the Golden Age stuff. So I've been buying Wiz comics and Captain Marvel comics for quite a while. So between Fawcett, I'm very interested in the Fawcett characters and the quality characters. And you know what's interesting about them is a lot of them were featured in serials like Spy Smasher, and I don't think they ever did a Bullet Man, but they've been featured in serials a lot, like when Hollywood was taking off. Probably didn't make as much money as today, but it was like a cash cow. Everybody wanted to be in on the superhero thing.
Yeah. That's cool. Did you pick up some of those in Chicago or?
Yeah, I picked up some Mary Marvel, which the covers are just gorgeous. And I picked up some WoW comics that featured Mary Marvel and Uncle Dudley. And then I picked up a couple of Master comics, which are from Captain Marvel Jr. and Captain Marvel Adventures and Wiz comics. But I'm just adding to the collection because I've already built up. I don't know. I have like about 40 or 50 of them so far. Even before it became popular. It costs more now because of the movie.
Yeah, good timing.
Yeah. But at least I completed my other, the Silver Age Shazam. I have everything beyond that. I own everything that's been published that's not Golden Age. He's always been like one of my favorites because Fawcett City is just so weird and it's wholesome. It's not, it's the opposite of Gotham. And it's even more wholesome to me than Metropolis. Like there's just some innocence about it that
Yeah.
is nice to see in dark times.
Yeah, I think that that's part of the feel of the Shazam Captain Marvel world. Yeah, it kind of has that innocence about it.
I've always been fascinated with it because it's like the perfect alter ego to have because nobody would guess that this kid would turn into this big man. You know what I mean? It's like the perfect scenario. You don't just put on glasses on your face and then they don't recognize you. You're proportionally different. That's why I've always liked like characters like Prime. You know, Prime was a kid too, and Shazam, and it's just weird calling him Shazam. I want to say Captain Marvel so bad, but then nobody knows what you're talking about anymore.
Yeah, especially the movie's coming out right around the same time, and Marvel's really fixing in people's heads that Captain Marvel is a blonde woman.
And it's just so weird because it's like, how do you tell somebody your name if you're Shazam? Like before you could say I'm Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel Jr. or Mary Marvel. You can't say I'm Shazam. And I don't know what they're gonna say. I'm Mary Shazam. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how they're gonna do it. Like even in the early DC stuff, pre-52, they just flat out said Captain Marvel. They just didn't have it in the title. But I
Like with
doubt in the
Power of
movie they're
Shazam.
gonna ever say it.
Yeah, that's they just have to avoid saying it or something. I don't know, it's weird.
What is your name? Shazam! Boom!
Holy shit, you're a little kid. Yeah, maybe he'll say it in Pig Latin.
Be like a Mixleplick situation. Mixlepidolic.
All right, well, this would have been good if for Rob was here, but because I read an issue of Uncanny X-Men, Marvel's Mysterious Mutants. This is actually in the Gambit trade, which I don't really think, I don't know that there's a need for that, I read this more because of I remember it being well, so it's Uncanny X-Men issue 266, which is Gambit's introduction. And I remember when I was a kid, this was just a coveted issue. It was super expensive. It was really hot because Gambit was really hot.
It's still a hot book now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not cheap, but
Mostly because there's so much speculation about it. There's supposed to be a movie. It's just
oh right.
it's like in the void. It's supposed to star Channing Tatum, but ever since the takeover, it's like is it gonna happen or is it not?
So this is by, it has an Andy Kubert cover, but the penciler is Mike Collins, and the writer is Chris Claremont, of course. It's called Gambit Out of the Frying Pan, and this is when Storm is in a child's body.
I don't remember that.
You remember when she was a kid? Or I mean,
No.
she still had her adult mentality, but she became a child.
How did that happen?
Oh, this is where we need Rob. I can't re
I
I'm trying to try to remember. I can't remember.
remember when she became powerless and became the leader, had to fight for leadership. I don't remember her becoming a kid. You said
Maybe you
it's
can look it
once.
up.
You said it's 266.
266, yeah. Yeah, I'm forgetting. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I own two copies of that. One of them in much better condition than the other.
So, she is in a she's in Illinois, but near a town called Cairo, Cairo, Illinois. It's like Cairo, Egypt.
And that's where she was stealing. I mean, that's where she was from, wasn't she? From Cairo?
Cairo, Egypt, yeah.
Yeah,
And
but
I think,
she was actually stealing, so now she's in a different Cairo.
right, yeah, and just purposely kind of like, being cute there, kind of. She's being attacked by these people called hounds, and they're human beings, in like tight body suits with spikes on them. These are being controlled by the what's his name? Shadow, what's the guy's name?
Shadow King.
Shadow King. He's kind of forcing her into using her powers, which are limited right now, but it's enough that she gets away and is being chased by the hounds, but is trying to escape. She escapes to a bathroom, a huge, crazy, expensive looking bathroom, and battles it out with them in there. Shadow King catches up with her, and starts to uses psychic powers or whatever on her, trying to dominate her will. But she fights it off, and falls out a window. It looks like they're in some kind of like condo, and she falls into a swimming pool. She can't really focus to and isn't able to call the wind to help her. So that scene ends with someone approaching, and she thinks, is it the Shadow King? But we turn the page and see that it must not be, because he's still back up in the condo, with the hounds and stuff like that. And then this is kind of carries on from the previous issue, which just was like a Storm solo issue pretty much. That issue had Nanny and the Orphan Maker, like the robots, in it. They had kind of like been caring for Storm, but in a way that was oppressive and strange. But so they have this kind of weird desire to get Storm back and protect her, but it's not in a like way that Storm wants to be protected or cared for. So they're upset about the fact that, as far as they know, the Shadow King has her. So we're back to Storm herself, and this is where she meets Gambit. Or, you know, she sees him, and he's a thief, of course, and so he's checking out some of the paintings in the house. So Storm tries to slip away. But as she's about to sneak out a door, Gambit warns her just before one of the hounds comes flying through. So we see Gambit display his powers for the first time with one of his, you know, charged playing cards that he throws. He catches Storm as she comes from the explosion, comes flying through the air. So he is carrying her out of the place, and he encounters a woman with two of the hounds. So he sets Storm down, and he sort of has like a shows to have like a seductive way of talking. But Storm again tries to use her powers as you know, again, she's not able to summon a lightning bolt. The Shadow King is working from a distance. So Gambit and Storm kind of have to team up to get out of this situation. I think this woman is being controlled by the Shadow King. So the rest of the issue is the two of them getting their way out of this this complex. Storm has a parachute prepared, so they're able to jump off the top of this complex, and that's on a cliffside. Storm's kind of trying to recover from the whole experience of the Shadow King. Getting into her thoughts, and she explains, you know, who he is to Gambit, and what the whole deal is. And she explains, yeah, that woman was named Dr. Shen, and she's someone that was being controlled by the Shadow King. She knows that Shadow King's going to continue to focus on her and try to track her down. So we have just a little epilogue after that, which brings Mystique into things in Washington, D.C.
Is it part
We
of the same story or is it a separate story?
I think it seems like it's connected. She's going to the headquarters for Freedom Force, and she's using the identity of Valerie Cooper.
Oh, okay.
As she's sitting there, remembering like Destiny and that past there, Valerie Cooper comes in herself. She says, "I understand the Shadow King wants me dead, and when he commands, his slaves must obey." So she said, "Destiny was aware of all of this as a precog, She knew, including the moment, Val Cooper, when you'd come to kill me, and the last plant panel is the sound of a gunshot. So it seems to connect into the whole thing with the Shadow King. So next issue, you get it's just kind of interesting how the first appearance of Gambit, you know, such a popular character, but you know, you kind of have a guest penciler on the issue.
Yeah, it's interesting to know if he's like the co-creator artistically. Like if he's the first guy that visualized it, or if somebody else drew that and said, "This is what you're drawing."
This is what he's gonna look like. Yeah, yeah. That I would probably guess the latter. I mean, but it's I think Mark Teixeira that comes back in the next issue. Looks like him.
I'm curious now. I'm gonna look up in his Wikipedia and see what it says.
Yeah, who's credited as the creator?
Because that's kind of a big deal. Especially if they make a big question. Film. Gambit Comics.
I'm going to try to figure out how she got turned into a kid.
You know what it says here? Created by Chris Claremont, artist is Jim Lee.
Mm.
That's odd. I wouldn't have expected that.
I know he was doing X-Men stuff around this time.
So. But do you think he like sketched him and then said, "Oh, guest penciler, this is what this guy's gonna look like"? It's just weird that the creator of a new character wouldn't have drawn him first. I don't know.
Is this the issue that it says is his first appearance?
Let me see. Uncanny 266. Yeah. But it also lists Uncanny X-Men Annual number 14.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too.
That's interesting.
So is Jim Lee on the annual?
14, which I probably don't own.
People that know this stuff are probably.
This is one of those like Wolverine 180, 181 things. It says annual 14, first appearance of Gambit cameo.
Yeah.
But I don't see Jim Lee on that, unless this is wrong. It says, for that annual, it says Arthur Adams, Mark Helicki, Kevin Nolan, and Michael Golden. I got to buy that issue before it goes up. Because it's still affordable. Good thing that you brought that up. I hate this shit when it goes into first appearances and it's questionable. Because, like, I really have the Hulk with the Rocket Raccoon, but Rocket Raccoon's first real appearance is the magazine. But it lists kind of both of them. It's weird. It's one of those weird situations. I hate it when it's like that.
Yeah, because they like to tease a new character at the end of an issue, you know, to get people to want to read. But
I'm going to look in multiple sources, though, because I still am surprised it says Jim Lee. I got to do some research.
So it sounds like Nanny and Orphan Maker, that they were involved in Storm.
De-aging?
Yeah, because Nanny was created by the Simonsons in X-Factor.
Yeah.
And she used to be a scientist. Employed by a anti-mutant organization called the Right. And when she found out that they were anti-mutant, she tried to stop them but was sealed in one of her cyborgs designs that she created. So that's why she's... And then she rescued a young mutant named Peter and created a battlesuit for him, and that's Orphan Maker. And then so later on, when the two of them attacked the X-Men in Australia. Storm chased after them in their ship. And a Havoc, who was confused at the time, shoots his plasma blast on their ship, and it seems that he seemingly kills Nanny, Orphan Maker, and Storm, but in reality, Nanny put out a life model decoy that looked like Storm's corpse, and then she regresses Storm's body to a child.
Interesting.
So that's what brings her in. And then she had Storm, Shadow Knight or Shadow King.
That's the one you have a hard time with, the Shadow King.
Storm King, Shadow Knight, all this shit. Yeah, and that brings us into the comic I was just talking about with Gambit. So there you go. That's all the shit that Rob could have just told us.
I think the Shadow King had something to do with Karma, too, from the New Mutants.
Might have been.
Like turning her corrupt or something.
Yeah, I mean, I know he started out as a Professor X, like, nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really, like, I think it was part of his origin, like, or background, and then they brought him back eventually, made him more of like a present day villain. So,
well, the one I have is Black Hawk 253. It's got an awesome cover. It's got like the Black Hawk symbol in the background and with bullet holes in it, and Black Hawk's on the cover with a machine gun shooting outward. I love the cover. It's like really, really cool. But this is like a done-in-one story, and it's really... I loved it. It's by Mark Evanier and Dan Spiegel. And it shows the older guy, Hendrickson. And it shows that he's a Polish fighter in World War II. And then it shows his counterpart, which is a Nazi fighter, and how they get enlisted. He gets enlisted by the Blackhawks, and he becomes a fighter pilot for the Nazis. And it just shows that up front, and then it goes into a story about there's some guy in the military in the Allied command that wants them to fire Hendrickson from the Blackhawks, and he said that he's senile. And they're like, well, tell us why he's senile. And he just hands them a stack of letters. And they're all letters to his wife. And he's, like, exaggerating. He's, like, telling his wife, like, I did this with the Blackhawks and he didn't really do it. Kind of, like, bragging that he's legitimate. When in reality, the Blackhawks kind of ignore him because they think he's the older guy. He doesn't have anything to offer. And, They're listening to the other members, but he writes these letters and sends them away to his wife. And the Blackhawks, well, why do you want us to kick him out? Because he's sort of exaggerating his part in all of these letters. Who cares? Well, the guy says, well, his wife's been dead for like 4 years. So he's sending these letters away and he's dead. And there's one scene where this fighter pilot for Germany is kind of like an enemy ace. Like he's just a badass fighter pilot. He's always shooting down planes. And Hendrickson has a plan for finding out like how they're able to intercept their planes faster than normal, and what is going on. And he comes up with this idea that they have like a fuel storage unit somewhere very close. But nobody believes him. The Blackhawks are, like, ignoring him and doing their own thing. And so he does his own thing. He starts, like, putting an extra tank in his plane. He starts siphoning gas out of the Nazi planes when they go down. He's like, why are you siphoning gas? So we can use it. We have plenty of gas. What he's doing is he's doing the mathematics of the gas to find out, like, where they're refueling, And he does all the math and finds out where they have to refuel. So he sort of estimates where they have to refuel on the map, and then goes out on his own to try to take down the this Nazi these Nazi fuel storage unit. And he gets shot down, and the Blackhawks are, "Oh crap, we should have listened to him. You know, like he really had a lot to offer us." And they think he's dead. But then they go over that, and instead of having a war will there, they have this like huge turtle-like war machine that has guns on the top of the turtle, and it's like shooting at the Blackhawks and almost knocking them down. And they're like, "We can't take much more of this heat." And Blackhawks telling them, "You cannot hit that hospital. There's a huge cross on the hospital." But the French guy says, "Screw that." He said, "That's no hospital. I can see tracks going in there, like where the walls are." So they're doing something funny, and he doesn't listen to Blackhawk, and he essentially drops a bomb right on that hospital, and Blackhawk's pissed. But it goes up in flames because he was right. It was a fuel storage unit to refuel these planes. They were hiding. They were masking it as a hospital. Because in the war you wouldn't normally bomb a hospital, so the Nazis had this fuel storage unit as the hospital. Well, it turns out Hendrickson isn't dead. He gets out of his plane and he thinks he's gonna die because he says they'll never find me. Well, that other German shows up. His name is Der Bussard, and it's like a gunfight at the OK Corral. They both draw their guns. They both fire. And he shoots the guy, and Hendrickson isn't shot. And he goes to pull stuff out of the ammunition out of his gun, and it's kind of like scavenging the enemy. And he pulls out a letter, and he has a letter very similar to his wife. And so he was doing the exact same thing that this guy was that he was writing to his dead wife. And it kind of ended that way, so it was like a heartfelt moment. And they're saying, "Why do you write these letters to your wife?" And he basically tells them that, "I know she's dead, but writing to her, it's kind of like visiting her grave. It gives me someone to talk to. I'm not a lot in common with you all, being older. I know she got killed, but maybe someplace she gets my letters anyway." And then they pretty much say they're going to start listening to him from here on out. So it was this way of coping with kind of being the older guy and not being paid attention to, but it was really good. I liked it. It was pretty awesome.
It looks like that's a Dave Cockrum cover.
Yeah, it is a great cover. It's very striking and the colors are so colorful. Ye
It's a cool
yellow
cover.
on like a navy blue, like it just looks awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. With
David
written by Mark
Cockrum,
Evanier.
one of the creators of the new Uncanny X-Men.
And
He did Giant Size X-Men and then took his ideas over to Legion, didn't he?
yeah, did a lot for Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
That's cool. For the last thing I was going to talk about, I was actually going to talk about a game. I
Miss
think,
Pac-Man.
not that old, but pretty old. I've talked about, I think, way back when, like maybe in the early days of the show, when we talked about like stuff from my childhood and stuff, that one of my memories as a kid was when my mom waited in line to get me a copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 when it came out, and I remember coming home from school that day and the box being on the counter and being allowed to play as much as I wanted that night because it was the first day I had the game and stuff. And I actually For quite a while now, I've had a nice boxed copy of Super Mario Bros. 3. Even though I don't have an original Nintendo to play it on, I just have it like on display. Which, I mean, a lot of copies of it were sold, so it's not
Well, it has
real.
some kind of sentimental value to you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not real valuable, but I like seeing it, you know. And for the sentimental value and stuff. But I did I picked up an NES Classic, which is a mini console. I don't know if you've heard about them or seen them.
Oh, they re-released them? Is that what they did?
Yeah, Nintendo had originally done it's like the size of your you could sit it on the palm of your hand, and it comes with I think like 20 or 30 games loaded on it.
But it doesn't have a cartridge reader then, right?
Right. Yeah, it's just a
But
little.
does it connect to your TV or is it handheld?
It connects to your TV
Okay.
HDMI. Yeah, it connects to your TV with HDMI, and it came out originally like 2 years ago. It just has like, you know, flash memory, and it comes with a controller, like a normal size controller. Although, like one of the common complaints about it is that the controller cord is really short, which I knew, so I bought. Target had extenders for the controller, so I picked those up because I knew it was like way too short from where I sit from the TV and stuff. But yeah, so it has like 30 games, 30 Nintendo games included on it. They went on and did like a Super Nintendo version of this kind of thing, a classic edition as well. It's like a trend now. Like PlayStation did one of the PlayStation 1, but like it actually is pretty crappy. Like the games on it aren't very good, and they did some weird made some weird choices with it. But like Sega's gonna be doing one that's coming out later this year, so it's like a new trend. But
They've been putting together a lot of the I saw at Target like the stand-up games too. Like they look like arcade, but they're not full size.
Yeah, they're like little,
They're
they look
like
like little
3 foot,
arcade
maybe
machines.
4 foot tall. And they come loaded with like Midway will have their games and it comes preloaded with like a lot of classic games on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that type of stuff out there. So, yeah, the only thing I've really played on it so far is I went right to Super Mario Bros. 3 because that it's been so long since I've played it. And I mean, there's been other ways to play it on Nintendo systems and stuff, but for whatever reason, I hadn't. And it is hard.
Is
It's
it
really.
harder now, or it was hard back then? Or
I
did you
mean.
finish this game? Is this a game that you finished back in the day?
Yeah, it's harder now. It's harder for me now. I think. And part of it is like. It's interesting because I've played. You know, after this, you know, the next Mario game was on the Super Nintendo, Super Mario World. And I've played. Starting with that, like you could save your game, so they made the levels a lot longer, and there were a lot more of them, and they became more of like it was more about exploring and stuff. And but this was the old Nintendo, and there was no way to save your game, so it's interesting how much shorter the levels are. They're hard, but they're compact. You know, so if you do get through it, they don't last super long. So they're more compact experiences each level. Yeah, it's definitely more about the challenge of platforming, like of, you know, of jumping and than it is of They introduced some exploration aspects. Like this was one of the appeals of, or the, features of Super Mario 3 is that they had the new power up. In previous games, like in the first Super Mario, you get the mushroom and he gets bigger, and then you get the flower and you can shoot fireballs. This introduced the leaf that turned you into a raccoon, and like if you ran for a little bit, you could fly briefly. And I remember just thinking that was amazing when I was a kid. And so in some levels, if you fly up into the sky at the right spot, you can find a little secret, and it'll take you to like a secret area that has a bunch of coins or something like that. So it introduces some aspect of exploring and finding stuff, but not to the same level as Super Mario World would. But fortunately, with the Nintendo Classic, like you can save your progress at any time. So like even in the middle of a level or anything like that, you can save anywhere you want, and you can create up to like 4 saves, and then you can just load that. So I think I'm on level f I'm on world excuse me world 5 out of 8, and the only reason I've gotten that far is because I'm able to save anywhere I want. I would have not gotten this far without that feature. So, which is fine. Like, I'm not, I'm playing it for the nostalgia. I'm playing it to see the levels and see it again, and to like, and it's neat how some of it's coming back to me.
Yeah.
I am actually remembering certain levels, and I'll get to a certain spot in a level and remember, oh, I totally remember this spot being difficult and like dying a bunch of times at this spot. So that's neat. World 4, which I just went through, is I forget the official name of it, but it's the world where everything's huge except for you. So the enemies and the question blocks and everything like that are like 3 or 4 times the size of you. Man, I remember getting to that level when I was a kid and just like being amazed by it.
Is this the
'Cause you...
first generation Nintendo or the NES?
NES is the first
Or okay,
generation.
the Super NES was the next one, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
That was the one that
I had a first generation, but man, I don't remember any games except for like Mario Brothers, the first one, I think. And
Yeah.
I think I had Silver Surfer, which I like that game. And I remember Duck Hunt.
Yeah, Duck Hunt, yeah.
Oh, and some track and field games. And oh, Super Punch Out I had too. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah. Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, where you get Bazooka Joe, and
Yeah.
I
I
still
got to the
remember a
point where
lot
I
of the
started to cheat, though. Like, I got up to, I couldn't get to, like, I got pretty far, but I couldn't get past a few guys, and they used to have those cheat books. And it would tell you, okay, duck, left, right.
Just tells it gives you
'Cause
the
you would
exact
have, yeah, you
pattern.
would have to learn the pattern to punch these guys.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just like looking things up on the internet when you get stuck. Nowadays it's like that was how you found out back in the day. Like you had your hint
By your
guides,
magazine, yeah.
your magazine. I mean, even Nintendo Power, the official Nintendo magazine back in the day, I used to get that, and they would publish game guides that you could look up stuff. But yeah, Punch-Out was all about learning the patterns. For each particular fighter. Like, I remember King Hippo, you had to hit him in the big belly.
Yeah. You had to get him tired basically by wearing him out in the belly.
Yeah. And then he'd go flying backwards and hit
Yeah.
the ropes. And I think his he's the one his pants. Yeah, his pants would keep falling down. Yeah, that was a good one.
Does that one have that game? Does that boxing have?
I think it's on. Let me see what the list of games is.
Yeah, can you read them off? I might be interested.
Yeah, I think it's probably, or I know if it is, it's not. It's the version that they took Mike Tyson out because they don't have the
Writes to him.
so they I think it's Mr. Dream or something like that.
Oh, but they do have it?
I'm looking up the list, but yeah,
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's on there. So I know, internet, why are you taking long? I know Super Mario 1, Super Mario 2, Super Mario 3 obviously aren't on there. Castlevania. Internet on my phone is acting weird. Let me go on.
Nintendo Classic? Is that what it's called? Mini games?
Yeah, or NES Classic list of games. Here we go. Full game list. So yeah, it was originally released 2 years ago, and then they re-released it. That's how I was able to get one because it was really hard to get for a while. So Balloon Fight. I never really played
I don't
that much.
remember that.
I remember it, but Bubble Bobble. I played that a little bit. So yeah, like I said, Castlevania, Castlevania 2. Castlevania 2 is a really weird game. Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr.
Oh, it
Double Dragon.
has. I'm seeing it now. It has some games that I like. For sure.
Double Dragon 2, Dr. Mario, Excitebike. I remember playing Excitebike,
That
so
w I played Excitebike a lot. That was one of my favorites.
yeah, I remember you do the jumps, and I would always press back too much and would end up falling backwards and crashing.
That's weird. Can you explain to me why they have Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 3, but they don't have 2? Why wouldn't they
It is
have
on there.
that? I don't
Yeah.
see it.
Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins, that's a ridiculously hard game.
Is that on there? Am I
Yeah.
looking at the right?
Yeah, I don't know if you're looking at the right list, but
Huh. What,
Gradius,
30? It
Ice
says 30,
Climber.
30 of the games, right?
Yeah, 30 games.
I
Kid
guess this doesn't have the
Icarus,
full list.
Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, like the original, like single screen arcade game, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden. Man, I keep seeing the site that I'm on, Business Insider, I'm looking at the list. I keep seeing your wife's favorite man.
Oh,
Like
really?
as I scroll down, there's like this ad keeps playing. It's Joe blah blah
Joe
blah.
Magdalera, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I guess it's an ad for Hulu. It's him and his wife. Pac-Man, yeah, Punch Out is on there.
I'm on the
Actually,
actual website for Nintendo, and it doesn't list all 30. It only has like. It sucks.
that's
It says
weird.
30. It says 30 of the best retro games ever, and then it. I see Ghosts and Goblins though. We talked about that. That was a really good one.
Yeah, Star
Galaga though,
Tropics. I
I
never
could
really
play
played that.
Galaga for days. I just. That's a fun game.
Super Contra, Tecmo Bowl. I remember playing a ton of Tecmo Bowl with kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
My one friend was like, had figured out like how to, you know, figured out the trick to get touchdown over after touchdown. Just like, it was not fun to play in. And then
So
yeah,
the
Zelda and
key
Zelda 2.
is if you buy this unit to get like joystick extenders or what?
Yeah, it comes with one regular size NES controller, but the you'll have to sit close to your TV unless you get an extender for the for the controller cord.
Hmm.
I mean, and then I mean, if you look into it, there are like you can buy third-party controllers that you know are wireless and stuff like that, but when I bought it at Target and just got like, and they had the extender cord there. So, yeah, it's pretty retro.
I like retro games because the controllers are much simpler. Like
Yeah.
controllers today, they just get too complicated for me.
There's a lot more buttons, yeah.
Yeah, I like when you have one keypad to move and two buttons or something.
Yeah, that's
Now
the
you
NES
got
controller.
like eight buttons in the upper part. I mean, on the side, and then you got all kinds of, usually four buttons on the front.
Yeah.
It just gets highly complicated, and then two thumb joysticks.
Yeah, I'm looking at my PS4 controller. There's yeah, two shoulder buttons, D-pad, two analog sticks, four buttons,
Yeah.
share button, an options button, the button that you press to bring up like to turn it on, and then like the touchpad button.
Yeah. It got way too complicated for me.
Yeah, the NES just has the D-pad, two buttons, and
I
start
got
and
as far
select.
as like the first generation Xbox,
Yeah, they
and
had quite a few buttons, didn't it?
they had buttons, but I that's as far as I could go.
That's where you
Yep,
tapped
that's when I
out.
tapped out. Yeah, I was like, I can't go any farther. Like I was even trying to play with my nephew. He has a Switch, and it was incredibly complicated. Like I didn't. It was beyond the point where I was enjoying myself.
Were you just using like one half, like one of those little Joy-Cons they call them, like just like a
Yeah,
little controller?
I
Yeah,
was
there's not too
trying
many
to.
buttons on that. Well, still more than the NES though.
Yeah.
There's like
But
D, they got
that
the
one
shoulder
has
buttons.
the side shoulder buttons too.
Yeah, it has like two of those and.
And then it has two, I think it has the two thumb things.
Yeah.
The two thumb things throw me off. I don't like to be I like to be able to move, but now that you can control three dimensions like your upper torso and stuff, look up, look down, that's when I start to get lost.
Yeah,
That's
most
when I
games
get it gives
use
me a headache. It gives me a headache.
Even when you're controlling
Yeah. It
it.
gives me like a three-dimensional piercing headache.
Yeah, 'cause I know some people like.
So I'll like play with my nephew just 'cause that's what he wants to do, but I
Yeah.
don't enjoy myself like I used to play with my other nephew who's older now, working for Amazon, but when we used to play, I'd play for real and enjoy myself 'cause I used to be able to use the controller. And I just don't have the patience to learn it. Like, I'd rather be doing other things. I could learn it, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
It's like a stubborn old man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only have one more quick one. I read Power of Shazam number 8. And this takes place after Captain Nazi killed Freddy's uncle and hospitalized Freddy, and Freddy was sort of like a football star at the time, so he's not used to not being able to walk, and he's in the hospital, and he realizes Mary Marvel and Mary and Billy, let him in on the secret, and they find out that they can get him out of the hospital bed if they grant him the ability. Like, they get hints from Shazam, the wizard, and they realize that their powers, every time they're all powered up, their powers are diminished substantially. So, like, if one of them's Shazam, then they'll have substantial power, but when it's divided amongst three, it's not as powerful. But anyway, Captain Nazi's in the hospital in this one, and he's alongside the prison hospital with Theo Atom, who at this time his vocal cords have been slit, so he can't say the magic words to become Black Adam. And he decides to break out Captain Nazi, and him and Captain Nazi break out, and Freddy's out for revenge, and he tries to tackle Captain Nazi, but it has to save Black Adam because Captain Nazi really doesn't care. He has one goal: get to a ship and find this chamber that he had that somebody exists in. You don't know who that somebody is, why he's after this old 1940s World War II ship looking for this chamber. And the story opens up with Minuteman, Bullet Man, and Spy Smasher, and it's very interesting because they're trying to protect the ship that Captain Nazi is going after in the 40s, and they're talking about it on a radio show for Wiz Radio, which is really cool. And the first part of the story is actually drawn by Kurt Swan, so it is very cool. Like, it's got that Kurt Swan line style, but not like the classic Kurt Swan. Like, he's modernized it. It doesn't look like his blocky Superman style. He's kind of tried to fit into this book a little more, so he's changed his line style a lot. So he's doing the flashback scenes in this, and it's just them reminiscing about the war and Captain Nazi and how he got away, and he got away with this like cloning chamber or whatever the heck it was. But Captain Nazi gets away, brings out the chamber from this old ship because they think I took the chamber. He brings it out. He opens a chamber and says, "Finally!" And what it is it's Hitler, but Hitler's body is deteriorated. So, because he's deteriorated, he's devastated, and then the Marvels show up to fight him, and that's how the issue ends. But I've been really enjoying this Jerry Ordway, and he's not drawing it, but the art is very reminiscent of Jerry Ordway's style. It's Mike Manley and God, I can't remember the other artist.
Is that whole run on the app?
I don't know if it's the whole run, but it's got the first 25 or 30 issues. They it really their app is starting to look impressive. It really is. It started off like very limited, and then they've been like adding so much every week that it is really worth it. And if you like to watch the old animated shows too, it's got a lot on it.
I know they're doing the new season of Young Justice too.
Yeah, I started watching that. It's The Outsiders, and it's very reminiscent of the way Batman and The Outsiders kind of opens up, except with a ton more characters.
Yeah, I really liked the first two seasons of that show.
Yeah.
I like the second season, they brought a lot of new characters in. That was cool to see in animation.
You might want to try it to see if it's for you for 1 month. You could do it for free just as long as you remember to cancel.
Yeah, I
And
just saw that
that now that they're extending, they WonderCon they announced their new plan for digital comics, and I'm sure they're gonna get a ton more subscribers that wanted the comics.
Yeah, because that's what people always would say, like other podcasters and stuff. People would always talk about how what they wanted was a DC version of Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
you know, when I think when it was first announced, like, and it was just selected comics coming and going, well, there was a lot of people who were like, yeah. Oh, that's not exactly what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So like I bet there's a lot of people excited.
Kyle picked for us to talk about Green Arrow Longbow Hunters. So I was like, do I want to lift, like, Longbow Hunters is an older book, which means it's in the long boxes that are in that far corner that you probably saw that are stacked mm-hmm. on top of each other. They're not mm-hmm. in the drawer boxes that you saw. And I was like, do I really want to do that? Or I'll just go on Comixology and buy it. But I said, before I go on Comixology and buy it, I'm going to check the DC Universe app. And sure enough, they had Longbow Hunters on there. So I was like, yeah.
It cracks me up, like, when you love having the paper, but then a lot, like, you're like, I'll just read the digital because I don't feel like getting the paper.
I don't mind when it's in the drawer boxes. It's at some point, what I have to do is take all those long boxes and convert them to short boxes, but that's going to be a shit ton of work.
Yeah.
I would need a couple weeks off to do it right.
The only way that's going to get done is if you finally give in and, like, hire me as your assistant.
Yeah, I would if you were. I couldn't pay your salary, though, that you made.
No health insurance or anything like that?
No.
paid time off. I need 4 weeks.
it would be a good job if you were retired and you just needed a few extra bucks.
Yeah, honestly, if I lived there and I was retired, I'd probably just do it for free.
Or, well, I would be there with you. It would be fun to do. I wouldn't mind doing it if I had time. I mean, what's precious now is time. If I had the time, I wouldn't mind doing it. But because I don't have the time, it sucks.
Yeah, so, you wouldn't be able to read any comics. You'd just be organizing them all the time.
I'd just be organizing them. The fire hose is always on. But that's all I had. But, man, I really enjoyed what I read this week. I was like, I didn't know what to pick. I knew mm-hmm. Power of Shazam. I've been reading like two a week. Pretty much, because I haven't caught up on Doom Patrol, because I hadn't had time to watch TV, and I have this like mentality with all my streaming services and stuff that I have to get my money's worth, mm-hmm. like Marvel Unlimited, read X amount per month, and then you've got your money's worth. So like, I said, well, this month instead of watching Doom Patrol, because I don't have time to watch it, I will, because Barb is watching Doom Patrol with me, so we. She didn't watch Titans, but so I'm not gonna watch it while I'm on the elliptical. But
Well, it seems like Doom Patrol is getting pretty good reviews.
Yeah, it's getting. It seems like the consent. There's a bigger consensus. Like it's more like Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, and it's more accepting of the norm than being an Elseworlds like Titans is,
mm-hmm.
like being totally different. When you watch the end of Titans, though, I don't know if you ever saw this, but when YouTube first started, like early on, I don't remember what year it was, but somebody had did a fan film, and it was called Grayson, and I don't know if you ever saw it or if it's still out there.
Oh, no, I think I heard of it, though.
But it was freaking amazing, and it's like Joker kills Batman, and Dick marries Barbara, but then he goes on this like vengeance, like this dark terror, like he just becomes a badass. Titans reminds me of that, except it's a little different. It's kind of like Batman's losing his shit, and Grayson that wants no part of it anymore. So it's a slight tweak of that fan film, and that I think that's why I like it so much. It's just darker, and yeah it isn't for kids, but they don't shy around it and say it is. They flat out tell you, but it is awkward to have a streaming service where maybe your kids could get to it. Like I haven't looked at, like, are there parental controls on this app? I have no idea. I don't really care because I don't have kids, but I would be concerned if my kids were watching the Young Justice cartoon, you know, and then they mm-hmm. they said, "Oh, I'm gonna just start watching Titans." I wouldn't want them to watch it.
Yeah. No, it's
If they were a
not.
teenager and I raised my kids to understand, because I was watching rated R movies as a teenager, I would have no problem with it. But before a teenager, I would want to put restrictive controls on that app.
Yeah.
Same with Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol is rated R, essentially. Even though more people are liking it. It has sexual situations, it has cussing, it has all of that stuff. Violence. Not as violent as Titans, but.
Yeah, I mean that's the parents' job, you know, and it, you know, that they provide those tools so parents can use them. And I mean, there's plenty of stuff that's on there that kids can watch, you know, the cartoons and stuff. I mean, a lot of those, a lot of like the Bruce Timm related, you know, Batman the Animated Series, Justice League, and all those hold up. You know, those are excellent shows.
Yeah, but then
So.
you could get into like the I watched on DVD. I think it's on the app. I'd have to double check. But there's a animated Freedom Fighters. There's the Ray and the Freedom Fighters.
Oh yeah.
And it is kind of questionable, not because it deals with gay themes, 'cause I'd want my kids to be well aware of equal rights. That there's different people out there.
Yeah.
But because they go into the darkness of the Nazis, I find it very questionable because it is violent. I mean, they're on Earth, wherever they are, where Earth X, I think it is, where the Freedom Fighters are and the Nazis won the war. And the Nazis are slaughtering people. I mean, they are killing people. And it's got like a dark Supergirl, a dark Flash, a dark Arrow, and somebody else. It is weird how they like tied it more into the CW universe, but it is dark. And it's borderline questionable, like teenage plus, T plus, you know, if you were to give a rating
Yeah.
on it.
Well, because I know a lot of those DC animated movies, like direct to video, most of those are rated T for teen.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's good to have a
Yeah.
variety, so that, you know, everybody has something to watch.
Yeah. I was upset though that I enjoyed the cartoon immensely, but they didn't have two of my favorites, Uncle Sam and the Human Bomb. They replaced them with Red Tornado and Vibe, which I thought was interesting.
That almost seems like it's pulling a little bit from like Earth 2, like the New 52 comic Earth 2.
Yeah.
At least with Red Tornado, like, although that was like a different Red Tornado, but.
But I think it was more pulling on the CW because they've
Oh
introduced
yeah.
Red Tornado and Supergirl, and then Vibe is there.
I think those might have been even connected in like officially to the CW.
I think it was. Just
That
like
was good, yeah.
there's a Vixen cartoon that's out, and
Yeah.
that's tied into the Vixen of the CW.
To Legends of Tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
Those shows aren't on there though, right? The CW shows?
No, they're not.
Yeah, I didn't think
But
so.
they are. They announced something. I can't
Well, they
remember what they.
for a little while they had like a deal with Netflix, like as soon as the season was over, they got put on Netflix without a
Yeah.
delay. But I haven't watched any of those in a long time.
Yeah. I'm caught up almost on Arrow. They introduced a character kind of like Connor Hawke, which was interesting because he's like Bronze Tiger's son. But and they do it like off the fly, like he's Ben Turner or whatever, you know, fighter. And instead of calling his son is Connor, but he goes Connor, my little hawk. just like a little Easter egg for people, you know.
Right. Yeah, nod to the fans.
Yeah.
Did they, I think, did I see that they are ending Arrow? Like,
Yeah, this th th there's gonna be this this isn't the last season. There's going to be one more season, and then it's over. And they're doing the same thing with Legends of Tomorrow. To tell you the truth, the one I'm going to miss the most is like Legends of Tomorrow, because to me it's like Sliders. It's like more lighthearted and not as dark, and they can get away with a lot of, I don't know, just like fun stuff. They
Yeah,
can
the
do,
premise gives
yeah,
them a
the
lot of
premise gives them
options.
so much flexibility to do all kinds of crazy stuff, and I just love it.
Yeah.
I love the tone of it. It's a tone that is just fun. It's not taken too seriously. And sometimes I need that. When
Yeah.
things start to get too dark, I like my Fawcett City. You know, like I like that I can change it. Like there's a time for darkness, and then there's a time where I just want to read something light, like Casper the Friendly Ghost. But yeah, I think we can wrap this one up.
Alrighty.
All right, you
See
can
if we can.
reach Chris at MythMakingETC. Rob is at Rob Krieger. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. And you've been listening to Geek Brunch Retrocast, located at geekbrunchpodcast.com, which also has a corresponding Facebook page. And you can click the like button and follow all the episode threads there. Go buy yourself a Nintendo Classic.
Get them while they're hot.
It's almost worth it for me just for a Super Punch Out, but because I think I could play it for hours.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun stuff on there. Also, I've been meaning to say, like, we don't have a Patreon, but like, Derek Coward has a Patreon, and he's the one who, like,
Supports this show.
Yeah, so you can, if you want to support the show, you can do that by supporting his Patreon.
Yes. And you go to
So,
comicbooknoise.com and you'll find how to do that.
yeah. All right.
All right. Well, it's been good talking to you again.
Same
And you
here.
have a good rest of the weekend. And I'm glad we
Yeah, you
could do
too.
this because it sounded like you'd be busy the following weekend. So,
Yeah. Yep, hopefully,
and
next time
me
we can
too, because
all get together.
Bill's still on vacation, so he next week I would be doing a geek brunch.
Yeah, try to get
So
back on the schedule
yeah,
here.
try to get back on the schedule now that I'm back and people are starting to be back. All right, well, you have a good one.
Okay, you
All right,
too.
take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.